Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. What is this, like episode 7, I think, now? We're under our new banner. This is wild how fast this is all going by. Of course, my co-host, my rock, as always, Ty. How you doing, pal?
Doing well, Maddie. Recording Saturday, Sunday. I don't even know what day of week it is. What a start. Yeah, I'm doing well, Maddie.
Good and you, right.
See, it's gonna stick.
Yeah, it is in fact Saturday of family day, long weekend, or whatever you may be celebrating provincially. This is another one of those in Canada federally mandated, provincially enforced holidays, if I'm not mistaken, a lot like Civic Day in August. So enjoy it if you can. I really hope everybody gets an opportunity to, and if not, well, I don't know what to tell you. So, moving on from that clean segue, we got a lot to talk about this week. Notwithstanding the fact that I look like I'm coming from some weird remote location that could be a bomb shelter, lots of hockey news. First and foremost, congrats to Team Canada on their gold medal win. If you need clarification, I am talking about the women's hockey team. Canada's hockey team took gold on Wednesday night, was it? Gosh, it's flying by.
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
Against the Americans in an exciting 3-2 matchup. Looked like, for the most part, to my eyes, Canada kind of had it the whole time. Americans made things interesting towards the end, but it was an awesome, solid performance by those women. And so happy to see that.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a doubt. Like, after they jumped off to a quick start, I feel like Canada controlled most of the game. That team was just stacked, and you know, record breaking like audience in the States and in Canada. And you know, women rule. Like, I haven't watched a single, and this is gonna sound bad because I watch a lot of hockey, I don't think I watched a single men's game, but I've watched a ton of women's hockey in the Olympics, and I feel like the past previous years, so Sochi and what was the one right before that, I can't remember.
Yes, yeah,
but no, I'm pretty sure the women's game, gold medal game, has been miles better than the men. So this isn't like a surprise. These women, you know, they go all out, and I'm just so happy for them because they've had like shutdowns and they've kind of got the short end of the stick. And you know, the IHF has not been kind to women's hockey. So good on these girls, Americans and Canadians, and the rest of the teams. Also, pretty sweet that there was a little bit of interest in the Marie-Philippe Poulin in the ECHL. And I thought it was pretty funny because some of the comments are like, oh, she'll get pummeled, she'll get beat. Have you seen her? She's a tank. Like, she will do just fine. And good on Nurse, you know, Sarah Nurse. She definitely, you know, showed her game well, and it was awesome to see. So congratulations, Team Canada. Proud.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think I can't remember exactly what it was, but the ratings that they pulled in for that game were considerable. And like, you think that they definitely were record breaking, is the tweets I think I was seeing. So hopefully that can really kind of propel the game. I think the biggest reason that's been thrown up out there that is openly discussed is the idea that it's not a draw. You know, of course, there's lots of other reasons that, you know, we're not going to get into right now, but, you know, that are probably also quite powerful. But the one that people have always been clinging on to that are trying to say they're making a fair argument is that it doesn't generate money, it doesn't generate interest. Well, I'd say like over 3 million is pretty interested. Like, those, I think that was the ratings for like 3.5 million.
3.54 just in the, yeah, that's NBC. So that, yeah, that doesn't cover the other ones, right? So, and that's the, I think that's the highest game. I think if I recall, I think it was 2019, could have been 18, but I'm pretty sure it's 2019. So that's been the most watched hockey game since 2019, which is insane. It's, yeah, been a good game. So good on them.
And there's been a lot of us that have not been able to leave our houses in a long time. So, you know, you get a captured audience previous to this that they're beating those numbers. So, yeah, man, that was great stuff to see. Not surprising to see the men's side be a little bit disappointing for North America in general. I think that you know, I don't think any of us really thought the Canadian men were going to go that deep. We all would have cheered along, but this is kind of what we expected. Again, and the Americans, this is their MO. No matter who they send to the games, is that they'll have great round robin, and then they can't pull it off. exciting news, though, Slovakia, like just as time of recording, Slovakia stunned Sweden with 4-0 to win the bronze. That's so, I think this is talk about growing the game. I mean, obviously, you don't think about it that much in terms of like needing to grow it in some of these areas, but this is a country that's not a powerhouse country, that they've been competitive, but they've always been that like second tier of competitive. And so it's really, I think it's really exciting to see them do well. And yeah, I'm also, really pulling for Finland to lay the smackdown later today on The Rock.
On The Rock. Frick The Rock. It's so, so dumb. But I do want to touch base on Slovakia. That's awesome. That's their first medal in hockey.
Get out, really?
Like that's amazing. And I don't know if you saw the tweets that were coming out of that country, like at hockey practices, these kids are celebrating, and this is what hockey's about, right? And yeah, we're blessed in Canada and the States of having really good teams a lot of the time, right? Powerhouse teams. These other countries are starting to catch up, and you know what? They also had the same hand dealt as Canada and the US with NHL players not being able to go. And they also had that 17-year-old kid who had like 7 goals. I can't even pronounce his name, but he's climbed the draft board. So look out for him in the NHL draft this coming off season. So good on that country, and I'm super happy for him.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Other exciting things that happened this week. My man, El Crosby Skidor, Sidney Crosby, scored his 500th goal of his career. It did not take long for all the Ovechkin stands out there to come out and try to, you know, put their own little fun dig and spin about Ovi and his goal scoring, which is fine. You know, we count at the end of the day, you know, Stanley Cup wins are pretty important too. Yeah. But if you know, Ovi's got his goals, that's great. But yeah, that's great for Sid to get that 500. And I think Malkin had like just another all-time tweet. He commented on Letang's Instagram post. He congratulated himself, and I think he even tagged himself in his own to congratulate himself on assisting on it, which is just amazing.
It's pretty awesome to like, so Sidney Crosby's our generation's like superstar, right? I remember being a kid and remember that RB like a Reebok line that he came out, he had a clothing line. I remember being like in junior high and buying some of his sweaters, and all of a sudden the clothing line's gone, but still I understand why it didn't succeed. But like, he was the player that everybody gravitated to, right? I have a younger brother who was like 4 when Crosby first came in, and he had jerseys and souvenirs, and it was all Pittsburgh, and you know what I mean? So that's sweet when you have that type of player. And if Ovechkin stands are being weird, like Crosby's got him on cups. Has Ovechkin won a gold medal yet in the Olympics? Don't think so. Yeah, Ovechkin's really good. He's a hell of a player, but like, he got his, you know, credit when he did all these records and all that stuff. So let's give Crosby his. And let's not forget, it wasn't that many years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, when Crosby was having those concussion problems. We didn't think he'd last, right? Like, we didn't think he'd still be playing at this time. So he's taking care of his body. He's, you know, beat the concussions that were, you know, hindering him, and good on him. I'm happy to see him. And it was so awesome. It was against Philadelphia. I know. And it was like, is he going to score his 500th goal? And you tweeted, yeah, look at the opponent. It's poetry. Like, there's just sports moments that are poetry, and this is one of them. So
yeah,
Sidney Crosby, you're a, you know, you're an idol to a lot of young hockey players and older hockey players and rec hockey players. So it's been a privilege to watch you over the years.
Yeah. Another epic milestone from a guy who is, you know, a generational talent for us. Drew Doughty picked up his silver stick, his 1,000th game. Especially wonderful that he was able to do it his entire career with the Kings. It's always kind of funny when you see guys have a long storied career and then go on to a new team, and then that franchise has to take care of that for them.
Yeah,
for being there. So that was pretty cool. And I don't know if you caught any of his speech, but that was pretty epic as well. Very good humored, but clearly had basically zero interest in any of it.
Yeah, I just liked when he mentioned Edmonton. He knows he, and he goes, I know this sucks, but we'll get back. We'll get to it right away. That was the best part. Drew Doughty's not a guy that ever has ever been like a big talker in the media and all that. He's a hell of a hockey player. There's a real rivalry between him and the Flames, right? With Matthew Tkachuk and Trevor Lewis did that funny little video where it was perfect. It was like, congratulations, Dewey. And then all of a sudden Tkachuk shows up. So you know what? There's a lot of good humor around it and it was awesome. And it's crazy. Like, I must be getting old because all these players were like, you know, they were around close to my age and now they're getting to 1,000 games, retiring and all that. And everybody's younger than me now. And it's awesome. So congratulations, Drew Doughty as well.
Yeah, that's one of those weird things that I guess everybody has to go through. But there's that time in your life where most of the stars are older than you. And when they retire in their 30s, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, like he's pretty old. He's had a good career. And then you get to the point where you are in that age, or from somebody like myself, who's more on par with Tom Brady, and people are like, oh, this guy's done. He's got to retire. And it's like, what? He's so young.
Yeah.
It's hard miles. It's hard miles on them. And I mean, I get it as well, but it's kind of funny.
It is. I love it.
Other exciting news. I think this is exciting. I think you're on the same page. The NHL is continuing talks about having a World Cup of Hockey in 2024. It looks like they're making good progress on this. This is awesome. And I think this is could be a better showing of best on best that we all want to see. I've made my feelings known about the Olympics in general in past podcasts, so I won't go into it right now. I'm excited about this. I want to see this best on best. And I also, if I can see that kind of competition without having to completely ignore all of the horrible, horrible, heinous things that the organization putting it on takes part in, that just makes it that much easier for me to enjoy. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. The only thing that I'm going to tread with caution is, I still don't feel like the owners are all for this, right? I think Bettman's doing his dues, and we all know what, like, we're not Bettman fans, but he's doing his dues. The players really want this, and I'm happy that they want it in February and not like the previous one where it was in September and August, or August and September, right? That was weird. Training camp messed up the schedule. It was just, it didn't flow. So at least they're, you know, saying February right now. Owners, just bite the bullet, man. They're paying you escrow. They're doing all this stuff. You get everything you guys want. Let's just give the fans what they want and the players what they want. They want best on best. Also, in the World Cup, please, no Team Europe. Please, no Team North America. Who cares if there's a ton of studs that are 22 and younger or 25 and younger? If they make Team Canada, they make Team Canada, right? And I'm ready for it. I can't wait. And also the IHF is bringing back the World Juniors in August this summer. And I think the women's tournament is right before that in June. So they're making amends for what shady stuff they did earlier this year. So it's good to see. It's good to see that we're finally getting some best on best. I feel like we've been deprived of it for so long. Not on the women's side. We just had a great game the other night. But on the men's side, especially, we've been lacking.
Yeah, well, that's like you mentioned the owners, and without, you know, going down a complete rabbit hole, we see it in sports in general. There's this. It really feels like a lot of the owners are, I don't want to say losing sight, because I don't think that their goals have changed. But you know, it is meant to be something like, it's a product that you're selling to us. And so you have to take, at some point, you really should be taking some consideration or factoring in or trying to seem like you are, that there are other people that are interested, like the fans and the players. You see, MLB are being locked out before their CBA is even up, because the owners are trying to play hardball on some issues that are just insane. An NBA owner, I can't remember which one it is, it just came out this week in an interview, was saying that he wanted to reduce the season to about 50 games and then do a single elimination playoffs, which, I mean, it's good to have those. As much as I don't completely agree with the playoff idea, I love the idea of shortening the regular season, because I think I think the seasons kind of go on too long in general. Like I'm with that in hockey as well. I think the season could knock off 20 games, have a better playoff experience. And, you know, we don't have to sit inside on a warm June day and watch hockey. I love hockey, but we don't have that many warm days in Canada. We need to be able to go outside when it does finally get nice.
Yeah.
And not enough bars have patio TVs. So it's just, it's, you know, that's, I'm selfish like that. I want to be able to watch hockey inside when it's cold and go outside when it's warm.
Yeah, I'm more of a traditionalist. I do like the 82 game season. I don't know. There's just something about it. It's just 82 games, you know, every year. We've kind of had the shortened season these last 2 years, and I feel like we're always deprived of, like, a team starts getting going at the 50 game mark, or a team starts getting going at the 30 game, and then it's already over, right? I understand it from the athlete's aspect, where your body is your moneymaker, right? So the more wear and tear on your body, the less likelihood that you're going to succeed and make more money for your family. So I feel like the NBA complains about it a lot, right? The NBA complains a lot about the shortened season, and then they'll sit games for a sprained finger, where you got guys in the NHL playing with torn pecs and all this stuff and hips. And that's a different conversation, right? That's a conversation in the sense that those players should be shut down immediately, not playing through these injuries. Right. Mm-hmm. So I could see it. I would definitely support it. Say we had more strict injury rules, where, like, Sean Monahan last year, and I only reference this because I know this story quite well, couldn't even walk, couldn't even, like, sit down, couldn't even take a face off. And the Calgary Flames just continued to play him all last year to make the playoffs. Well, now his season, like, he basically had to learn how to walk this off season, and now it's ruined. So let's keep the 82 games. I'm on that ship, but let's take care of better, like, care of our players. And that's the biggest thing that I find wrong in sports. The NBA, I don't know, the NBA complains about everything. So,
yeah, but the NBA has, I think the NBA has, their players have the best, I guess, maybe not best. No other players organization has the same power that they do.
Oh, it's like incredible.
Like baseball is probably, I'd say, it feels like it's the furthest down there, where, you know, the owners have all the power, the players have virtually none. I think that hockey's not too far off of that. Like the players have to have escrow. Like the whole idea of escrow is crazy, because it really comes back to the owners trying to be benefited by their own bad decisions. Yeah. Like if you don't want to lose money, stop making so many bad decisions all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. But the NBA, that's one of the things that I think nowadays I really want to kind of credit more, is how strong their players union is and how much more balanced. Because let's not pretend the owners don't have power in that dynamic, but no players organization wields the same power and influence in modern sports as the NBA players do. So,
well, you just look at the players of the NBA and you look at the NHL. We had our Jack Eichel traded, and it took an injured neck, a team not giving the surgery that he wants to do, and just, like, way too long of a time frame to do that. In the NBA, a player could be like, I want to be traded, and it gets going right that minute, right? The NHL does not have that kind of power with the players, right? And I think it's a blessing and a curse, because I think the NBA also, I read Vanessa Bryant's quotes that she's been saying about Kobe Bryant and the difference between LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. We're now in basketball talk, but she said, why do you want to, like, when you're injured, play every game or do all that and not take days off? Because that fan that comes and watches you, he also used to be that fan and went and watched Michael Jordan, right? And Michael Jordan never took any days off. So you're still in the entertainment business, and you're still this, and you know what I mean? Like, if you have 40 players sit every other night, do you think your ticket sales are going to be as good? I don't know. It's a really complicated conversation. Mm-hmm. And where you brought up shorten the season, that's the middle ground, right? If you shorten the season, then you won't have players sit. But then you're going to get into it, well, are we going to have players sit even if it is 68 games? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I do agree, the NBA is – the NBA Players Association is just as powerful as the NBA. It seems to me like those guys move around more than more than they want.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that we started that off with the World Cup of Hockey, and now we're talking about NBA power dynamic. But yeah, that wasn't a tangent at all. We still totally stayed on topic. Oh, if you're still listening with and following us, thank you so much. that gets us through our news segment for the week. Oh, man. So we talked about this a little bit in the last couple of episodes. We're kind of at that mid-season point. So, Ty, you suggested we do a little bit of mid-season recognition here. Yeah. So we're gonna go through an MVP, most disappointing, underrated, and most improved.
Yeah.
Right on.
I love it. So, I think we should start with the most disappointing, and then underrated, and the most improved, then MVP. Let's start with the worst stuff, you know, and then, you know, the cream at the top. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. Well, why don't you kick us off with your most disappointing or
Yeah. Okay. I'll start with most disappointing. So when I presented this list to Matthew, I was pretty confident that I would find myself the most disappointed that I was going to be happy with. And, you know, I could have really went on the Edmonton Oilers. I could have done all that. But I'm going to pick the two-time Eastern Conference Finals runner-up. I'm going to pick, and I can't even pick a single player, even though I want to pick Matt Barzal. I feel like as a whole, the New York Islanders have been just a disappointing team this year. I feel like across the board, even if it's coaching, if it's goaltending, if it's defense, even though they have a couple bright stars, there's zero goal scoring. I know they had the nightmare road start to start the season, but still you thought they would get going and you thought they'd be the team that they have been. Like, they've been a force the last 3-4 years. Nobody wants to play the Islanders. It's a rough team. It's a stingy team. They don't give a lot. So yeah, I started with most disappointing, and I kind of changed the rules, even though I didn't tell you I picked the New York Islanders.
Yeah, I feel you there. I think they were. I thought about them as well, and I thought about going team wise for some of these as well. Spoilers alert, though, I chose only players because I'm a man of integrity. But I get you there. The Islanders definitely popped up on my radar here. It's hard to really understand and fathom what's going on there, and maybe it doesn't. Well, I think what's weird is it doesn't feel normally. I feel like if you see a season like this, that a lot of people, I think a lot of us expected them to be better, maybe not like world beaters, but better than this. It doesn't feel like they are dealing with the same kind of pressure or disappointment that like you'd see like Edmonton, where Edmonton, you're not sure if it's going to, you know, collapse in on itself at any moment because of the season, if it doesn't turn things around, which, you know, it has under Woodcroft. But I don't know, from maybe it's because I'm on the other side of the country, I don't feel like they are about to implode, even though by all rights they probably should.
Yeah, but how can they, like, if you even like with your description, it sums it up perfectly. Look at the moves Lou made in the offseason. Zach Parise, there's a lot of free agent signings that were left to the last minute so they could sneak him under the cap. They were going for it again. That's and I feel like if that was happening, well, it is happening in Vancouver, right? You feel it probably more than anybody, even though they are on a run. We would hear tons of noise about selling and all that stuff, but I don't hear anybody selling anybody off of the Islanders, right? No. They have some good pieces. So yeah, I 100% agree with your take on that.
Yeah. I know, it'd be interesting. I think it'll be, we'll see. Yeah, I think that maybe they keep things locked up better than most. Maybe we'll figure things, hear all kinds of stories in the offseason. Maybe they'll turn it around because, I mean, the Blues did it a couple of years ago and they're not as bad right now as the Blues were then. So we shall see. But yeah, that's an interesting situation. My most disappointing, I went and I chose a player and I went with Mackenzie Blackwood. Like, let's go back to August. This is a guy that was in consideration for being one of the three goaltenders that represented Canada at the Olympics. This is a guy that looked like he was on the verge of becoming a top talent in the league. You know, a part of, I don't want to say the next great generation of Canadian goaltenders, but But, you know, he looks like he was going to be one of the better Canadian goaltenders out there. And through a lot of those lenses, this looked like it was going to be the beginning of something for him. And I'm not saying that I'm disappointed in him. I think it's just a disappointing lost season at this point because of his injury issues. And the fact that it looks like it's going to be a type of thing where he's going to end up getting shut down for the year sooner or later. That's really, man. Does it get much more disappointing than feeling like you're about to have that breakout year or this guy's about to assert himself and nagging injuries just keep ruining the entire season?
I did have Mackenzie Blackwood on my most disappointed shortlist. I feel for him in the sense that I don't think it's the play. I think he's just never healthy. And then he gets rushed out there and then he's injured again, or it's something nagging. Like, I feel more sorry for Mackenzie than I do Philip Grubauer, right? Where I feel like he should be the most disappointing, you know, if we're going to talk goalies wise. But, and it is true, because that team was supposed to take steps. They went and got the biggest free agent this offseason with Dougie Hamilton. Goaltending seemed to be like at least fringe that they were going to start to take that step. And they have been yet. Like, they got John Gillies playing a bunch of games this year. You know what I mean? Like, I feel for New Jersey Devils and Mackenzie Blackwood.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Grubauer. He never even came into my thought process, but because to be disappointing, you have to have had some expectation of success. I didn't. I'm not going to tell you that I think Grubauer is trash. It's just that I don't think he's all that great. I don't think he's a 1A starter in the NHL. And I think he's had some success, and kudos to him. And he's getting paid really well right now, and that's fantastic. I'm very happy for him. Under no circumstances did I think that this was going to be a successful year for him at all. So, yeah, that's I guess that's why I didn't even remotely
consider. You should work for the Seattle Kraken. You know what I mean?
I don't think I would get along very successfully there. I suspect that I would be let go real quick. My first question would be, what are we doing here?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. So you're telling me we could have had Vladimir Tarasenko, but we wanted to overpay Philip Grubauer. Yeah. Oh, and we wanted to take Adam Larson, even though we could have signed him already. It's just a lot of weird things. Seattle Kraken's supposed to be this analytically juggernaut. They have completely botched it, right? Even with the Washington pick where they took Vitek and then gave him back to Seattle, where they could have taken Dylan and traded Dylan to Winnipeg for 2 second-round picks. Ron Francis is just you know what, he is what he is, and I'm going to be as nice as possible. He is what he is, and the line is doing just fine without him.
I'd say so. So let's go, I guess. Well, that's the only really bad one, right? I guess most improved, maybe next up we'll do.
Yeah, sure, let's do it.
Most improved,
you go first.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. I went with Tristan Jarry.
Solid.
You brought this up recently. This is a guy that, after his recent playoff performances, I think most fans thought he was garbage, that he was done. That, you know, I think we heard a lot about what Pittsburgh would be doing about goaltending heading into this season, and even early in the season. You know, there was talks about bringing Fleury back home, or all these different things, and without their captain, without their other generational talent, Tristan Jarry has been a big part of them having a fantastic year. He's 25-9-6, 225, save percentage, goals against, then 923 save percentage. Pardon my French there. That guy's having a great year. He's having a great year, and especially going off of his playoff action, I'd say that's an improvement.
Yeah, I love that pick in the sense that I'm pretty sure all of hockey media and a lot of the fans were real ass kicking Tristan Jarry this offseason. Right. And there was, and that was the big thing. I remember we did our preseason picks and Penguins, and we did our power rankings and the Penguins. And I feel like last year, I slept on the Penguins. I'm like, I feel like, yeah, they got holes in goal. Crosby's aging. Malkin's aging. He's injured. Chris Letang can't be a dominant force anymore. And you know what? It starts from the crease and out. And Tristan Jarry has controlled that team. He has taken that team by storm. And he is completely dominating the net, right? Like he is. And you know what? He got Brad Marchand over the edge by saying, how about that effing save? What a baby he is. We're not. Yeah. I'm staying on track. I'm staying on track. That's what I'm doing. I love the pick. Good on Tristan Jarry. And let's just hope he keeps it going. And in the playoffs, they win some rounds and, you know, upset some people. And he can cement his name as a top goaltender in the NHL.
Why don't you give us your most improved?
Yeah, I'm going to follow in your footsteps in a bit here. I'm not going to pick Tristan Jarry, even though, again, we're on the same wavelengths here. He was on my short list. I'm going to pick Igor Shesterkin out of the Rangers. And I won't even lie to you. I could have put this guy MVP in the sense that he's second in the NHL with goals against. He's first in the NHL save percentage. He's got three shutouts. He's 23-5-3. That's a crazy record from last year where he was 16-14. And I think without Igor, you would have the New York Rangers as a middle team. Right now, they're a top team in their division. They're a top team in the NHL, and they find ways to win. So I have Igor Shesterkin as my most improved.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a little bit surprising to see him in that category. As you referenced, I think I would have been, I was expecting him more in the MVP. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you made some great points, and any opportunity to highlight the season that guy's having, I think it's worthwhile taking.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's incredible in the sense that I feel like there was actually a debate at the start of the year between the Rangers internally who their starter was going to be. They didn't even start Shesterkin first game of the year. Right? They started Gorgiev first game of the year. So like, this is really sweet for him to cement his name. And he's a top three goaltender in the NHL right now. And that's awesome. But I agree with you. I did have him in the MVP, but my MVP is a little bit sweeter. So, you know,
some kind of flames for sure. underrated. Ty, who do you have as an underrated player up to this point of the season?
I have the Apple. I have Mort Sider as my most underrated. He's not even in rookie of the year category. They got Trevor Zegras blasted everywhere and Lucas Raymond. It should definitely be this young defenseman who's got 5 goals, 30 assists. And on Detroit, he still has a +2. He's got 3 game-winning goals. Did you see him bully the Washington Capitals the other night? The guy is, he's not scared of anybody. He's great in his own end. He's got an offensive threat, and he should be the Calder Trophy winner over Trevor Zegras. I love Trevor Zegras. I think he's a great player, but defense is the hardest position, and this guy's playing in Detroit right now, which is a clear rebuilder, and I say Schneider is the most underrated.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's a great pick. I think I'm thinking back immediately to our fantasy draft preseason, and one of our league mates picked him, and I don't think I was the only one, but I might have been the loudest that just laughed and said, "Who? You know, there's lots of good players left on the board. You don't need to take these picks so early, these dart throws." Boy, was I wrong on that one. I guess that explains why my fantasy season is the way it is. And the owner in question is on the other end of that spectrum.
That's true.
I'm keeping the goaltending train going with my most underrated. I wrote this down so that I could try to pronounce it as good as possible. Karel Vejmelka out of Arizona, Flying V. I'm not going to read off his stats. They're not going to jump off the page. They're not going to help my argument. But this guy is out there, and he is playing really well behind what is basically an AHL club, soon to be playing in university arena. There are, I think that this guy is having a heck of a year. I think if you put him on just about any other team right now with the way he's playing, I think that everybody would be just raining down praise on this guy. I think that I've been watching his kind of his stats a little bit more lately. He's not getting the wins. He is getting a lot of goals, but he's got a lot of shots against. He's not getting a lot of help in front of him. And, but yeah, man, signed last year as a free agent, 25-year-old. I think, who knows what's going to happen in Arizona? Who knows what his career is going to be there? I forgot to look into his contract, so I don't know how much he's stuck there. But I think this is a guy that, man, he could be really something really special in the next couple of years. Probably not if he stays with Arizona, unless they hit the jackpot soon. But yeah, I don't know. I think right now he's underrated. No one's talking about him because obviously the team is trash and his stats aren't good. But man, you got to look out for this guy. He's killing it.
Yeah, I think it would be funny at the start of the year if we were like, okay, who's going to be the most underrated, and any of us picked a player out of Arizona. I think it would have been hilarious, right? And we know Sean Avery's take on Arizona players, which is awful. But that's quite the pick, because I think if he were in Edmonton, that team's a way different team, and he's going to be cementing himself as a true number one. It's because he's in Arizona right now, and like you said, they're about to play at a freaking college and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he's played unreal, and he's actually, I'm pretty sure he's a UFA at the end of the year, but they have no intentions of letting him go anywhere, right? So good on him. I guess Elliot Friedman reported earlier this year that Edmonton definitely looked into getting him, like every other goalie in the NHL, but he's not going anywhere. I love that pick. Maddie, I want you to do the honors in giving us your MVP. Now think about this. The MVP, if we break it down, is the best player in the league, the most valuable player. So I hope you spent a lot of time in this decision and scoured through all the teams and picked the guy that you think is the best in the league. Not just the flashy name, the best player. Who did you get, Maddie?
Man, I appreciate that intro, but I do have to just immediately put a kibosh on it. Most valuable player is not the best in the league. The most valuable player, and the reason from what I chose, was the person that, if you removed them from that team, would have the most impact. So, for example, right now, Sid and Malkin, you can't call them MVP caliber players because the team was already doing well without them. They're superstars. They are impact players. I'm a huge Sid and Malkin fan, but I can't consider them an MVP. The team was fine without them. I'm looking at a team that, if it wasn't for this player, would be in the playoff hunt right now. If it wasn't for this player, they probably already would have moved several big assets and would have a completely different, future outlook than they do right now. This is the team that at the moment is in the hunt, that is a playoff contender, and that is looking like they could have something special that could last for a couple of years. All of that would have changed for the St. Louis Blues. If Ville Husso doesn't come out of relative obscurity to throw up 11-3-2 with a 191 goals against average and a 937 save percentage. He's past the threshold for games played. His games played is far behind the other guys, but he's got a better goals against than Shesterkin. He's right behind him in save percentage. He's got as many wins as the starter, Jordan Binnington, but he has way fewer losses. If it's not for Ville Husso, the St. Louis Blues aren't even in the playoff hunt. They would have probably already traded Tarasenko away for picks and future prospects. Parayko would probably be playing in Calgary. The team would be basically rebooting, rebuilding. But because of Ville Husso, we're planning the parade. So that's why Ville Husso is my MVP.
You sold me, because my God, did I have other players come to mind? You went Ville Husso. Ville Husso now has to come on the pod, because that's the greatest intro he's ever going to get. He's unreal, Maddie. he's unreal, and I love it. I love that you picked him as MVP. And I hope that our listeners listening, you know, they realize that we're not hometown bias at all. Because the real MVP wears number 13. And he plays for the Calgary Flames. His name is Johnny Effin Hockey. And the man is on fire. Let me just break this down for you. You want to talk about stats about Ville Husso? If you took Johnny Gaudreau out of the lineup, he's fourth in points, first on 5-on-5 points, even strength points, with 52. He's first in the NHL in plus minus, and he's got 5 game-winning goals. And he leads the best line in hockey. You take that guy out of the lineup, which they probably are going to do in the offseason when he gets offered like a blank check in Philly. Johnny Gaudreau is the MVP. So, listeners, I hope you don't think we're just these hometown bias, and my back wall doesn't show that I love the Calgary Flames at all. And Maddie is not a Blues fan, and that's why I picked our 2 MVPs on our 2 teams. That was so awesome. Husso and Johnny Gaudreau. Oh, I love it. But yeah, Johnny's my MVP.
Okay, well, I mean, he's having a fantastic year. There's no contesting that. Geez, I don't know if I would have considered him the best player on your team. I think that I would ask you how many shutouts he has. I definitely thought you were going to go with Markstrom there with that lead in. I always knew you were going to pick a Flame. because they're doing so well, and not because you're incredibly biased.
People are going to be listening to this, and they're going to just like, yeah, we're done listening to these guys. These guys are total biased towards their
I got a feeling that nobody listens to us thinking these are really intelligent, well thought out, informed takes.
Oh, I love it.
This is our listening fan base is made up entirely of our family members that we refuse to call and speak to, and they just really want to hear our voice. I'm convinced of it. So,
but I love it. I love you, Grandma.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it nonetheless. I will take those pity listens. Well, that wraps up a banger of a segment. I went 4 for 4 in the crease. I went from the macro to the micro, teams, players, and the like. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, though. We went through the news. We went through our segments. A couple of things I want to touch on briefly. You mentioned it already. I think it really needs to be pointed out how much of a clown Brad Marchand is. This is the guy that this season was complaining about how soft and reactive other players are, only to then turn around and openly, freely admit to everybody that he is, in fact, the softest, cuddliest, reactive player in the league. Just wild. I appreciate his honesty with it, of course. But yeah, Gary denied his blanket on the word.
Appeal.
There we go. It's blanking on his appeal. There are still other avenues for him to go. I really, 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 really hope he doesn't push that. We just go on. Fun fact, though, too, is when you appeal to the commissioner, they can reduce it, but they can also add games on, which I was really hoping for. Yeah. But to bring that all back, man, what a goof. What a clown.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say on it. The only thing I want to call him is a hypocrite, in the sense that Panarin was going through some pretty serious stuff last year in Russia and all that kind of stuff. And Brad Marchand, you know, called him soft and called the league soft after the comments he made. Then to go and punch a goalie this year over how about that effing save after Jari's pumped up, feels a little bit of a hypocritical kind of thing to do, especially at the moment, especially when you have that type of voice. And I hope he's pretty embarrassed with all of it coming out. I feel like he's going to get a lot of attention on the ice now for his actions, which rightfully so should be. And yeah, he deserved the 6 games. That's all. I don't have a lot on it because we've touched so much.
Yeah. And it's fair. We don't need to rant on it a lot. I also wanted to really mention Jamel and Giovanni Smith getting the opportunity to play not only on the same team for a short period of time in Detroit, but Blaisdell actually put them on the same line, which it made me chuckle because you see that stuff in the media. You see that, and that is heartwarming. It's lovely to see that the two brothers get the opportunity to play together. But then I immediately thought about how I would feel if I had to work directly with my brother full-time all the time, and reflect upon, you know, I wondered how you would feel if you had to work directly with your brother. I'll just gonna go and say it. I love my brother to death. He is an amazing, wonderful, thoughtful, caring individual. If I had to work beside him full-time all the time, I would lose my mind. Maybe Jamel and Giovanni have a different relationship. Maybe they're best bros. But yeah, I think that my brother and I would be scrapping real fast.
I don't think if I wrote a list, and I love my brother as well very dearly, and I actually have a lot of brothers, but I love them all very much. But let's just talk the closest one to my age, which is Mitch. Hopefully, you know, he's not listening to this. I probably bet he isn't, but still. I made a list of things that I would want in a job. The last thing I would do is work at the same place as my brother. Because different people. I love him. I love getting together with him, and miss him dearly. He's in Texas, but not on my list of things that I want to do is play with my brother. Or no, not play. work with my brother. So I am highly embarrassed right now. My face is going red if you're watching on YouTube. So
sea of red, maybe.
Sea of red. Thank you.
Just blending in with the jerseys behind you. Exactly. Yeah, let's just move on from that quickly. Let me just say, I know I've met people over the years. I know people who they're the people that their siblings are basically their best friends. They've got great relationships. They hang out with them. They do things casually with their siblings and their parents. My family is not that type of family. I don't ever question their love for me. And I believe and I hope that they don't ever question my love for them. But we are not the love you and spend all our time together type of family. So that's where this comes from for me, is that I would do anything for them except see them every single day at work and work side by side. If I had another option, we'd get through it. We'd get through it. But I'm assuming that, you know, for the media purpose, they were loving it. And then when Tampa Bay put in the claim, they were both just like, oh my God, thank you so much.
Well, I bet he's pumped. He's going back to Florida. Like,
oh yeah.
Would you imagine? So Detroit, Florida. Yeah, I'd take Florida too.
I got to ask though too, this came up and we didn't talk about this previously, but Brooks, is it Adam Brooks, has been claimed. Now, I would love to get somebody on and talk about this and understand this process. I get it if you get claimed in like the normal circumstances. Like let's say you get put on waivers and you get claimed by a team, you go to that city, you get processed, whatnot. When you get waived and claimed, like what was it, 3 times in 10 days?
Yeah, I think it was less than 10 days. Where did he go from? Where was he first? I can't remember the first.
He was Vegas. Well, I think Vegas, claimed by Toronto, and then waived. Was it claimed by
Winnipeg?
Yeah.
So what happens is you're waiving him to drop him to the minors, right? So Toronto claims him, so he doesn't drop to the minors. So now he's at the big team, right? But Toronto still wants to get him to the minors so they can cap, you know, avoid some cap situations that they didn't want, right? So then they waive him again, thinking that nobody's going to take him. Toronto's at the bottom of the list, right? Well, I guess who's a little bit lower? It's Winnipeg. So then Winnipeg claims him, and now he's just with the big team. So that's the whole thing. He never made it to the AHL. If he would have made it to the AHL, he would have been like in Toronto. So that's the whole thing. And I guess Frank Saravelli or was it Chris Johnson? One of them was explaining that Toronto will actually save quite a bit of money if they waived him, then brought him back up or something. So it was all about cap, you know, avoiding cap and making room. And it didn't work out for Kyle Dubas, but you know, That's Kyle Dubas.
Well, this is a guy that previously, if I'm not mistaken, had been with Toronto and was waived and claimed by Montreal, I think, and waived. And that's how he ended up in Vegas, perhaps. Yeah. Like, he's it's got to be a weird feeling to be all these teams do want you, but not that much, you know? Like, he feels like it's like the hockey equivalent of being friend-zoned, you know? It's like, well, we don't actually like love you, but we do really like you and want to spend all our time with you and we want you around, but like not so much to actually fully commit.
What was hilarious was, so the day Toronto claimed them, there were some articles written, which is hilarious. Mark Giordano is playing in Calgary today and he's like the longest serving captain and all that. And there's hardly any articles written about it, right? It's in Calgary. Adam Brooks gets claimed by Toronto, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of articles how he's going to solve their fourth line depth center position. And I go, what is wrong with like this situation? So you guys are pumping up Adam Brooks. And I thought it was hilarious. It probably sucks for his family. Sucks for Adam that he was then waived and claimed by Winnipeg. So all those articles were really meant for nothing. So
yeah,
way to go, sports media and your Toronto bias.
I mean, it's weird, though. It's funny, though. This is where I think it's got to be tough on the person, but it's kind of funny to just imagine, you know, like at a certain point, does he just say, like, I'm not getting on another plane until this is all settled? Like, yeah. You know, like, are you reporting? It's like, have I cleared waivers yet? Because until I've cleared waivers, I'm not moving. You know, like, you got to figure, he's got to jump on a plane. And this isn't like a superstar player that's making millions and millions of dollars. This is somebody that probably has to fly kind of a regular back of the plane with everybody else, pack up all their things, get comfortable. Yeah.
He's calls. He's traveled North America quite well the last few days. Toronto, now Winnipeg.
Oh, wow. And
he spent his career in Regina. He's almost home. He's almost made it.
This is going to be a Christmas movie on the Disney Channel in a couple of years, I swear.
Yeah. Follow Adam. Something crazy.
Oh, man. Cool. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, buddy. I think that's just about everything I wanted to talk about this week. Anything
left? Yeah. Look, I think we're good. I just want to touch on, I just want to say congratulations, Mark, on, I'm sure he's never going to listen to this episode, but I want to just say it anyways. Congratulations, Mark, on making it back to Calgary. You're going to play in front of a whole bunch of fans. It should be more fans, especially for what you've done for the community of Calgary. You've won a lot of awards on your humanitarian efforts and what you've done for the community, especially when COVID first happened. You're buying groceries for a lot of citizens and all that kind of stuff. So welcome back, Mark. You know, it sucks that you got exposed, but Calgary still loves you. And it's going to be an honor to watch you play tonight.
Just with in line, that was very, very nice. But within line with some of the other comments that you have made today, I just want to clarify to our listeners, he means exposed to the expanded draft and not in any other manner. Mark Giordano is a man of the people. We all love and respect the guy. Congratulations to a continuing great career and an opportunity to go back and receive some love in Calgary tonight. And I would say, like, hopefully a win, but like, does Seattle really have a chance?
Well, they're 8 in a row, so it's the sky's got to fall one day, and it's probably going to be tonight. I bet you Mark puts up like a hat trick. It's going to be, and I would be okay with that. I wouldn't be upset. I'd be happy. So,
actually, that really reminds me. Before we sign off, I think our listeners will appreciate this one. When I was going through and looking through my possible most disappointed, that was the one where I had something else in mind before I settled on Blackwood, because I felt that was more true to the sentiment of what we were trying to do. But most disappointed, the first thing that came to mind is how disappointed I am that the Maple Leafs are having a great season.
I hope Brian, Dave, and Chris listen to this and they make it all the way to the end and just hear that clip. Just that. maybe what I'll do is I'll just clip that and just send it to them. And that's I agree with you, because at the start of the year it looked like the wheels were coming off and we're all calm down, they're a good team, but still, man, it sucks so much.
Maybe I'll clip that and make our cold open, just to give them some idea of what they're coming into. Yeah. Oh man, got to rile it up, you know.
Yeah.
You touched on it already. The Toronto media machine is big and it's successful. And if we could just get a small piece of that without giving up the entirety of our soul, that's not so bad. I'll do it.
Exactly. I agree.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up there, gang. Thank you so much to everybody that listened to the entirety of this. If you aren't already, please hit subscribe. Please leave us a 5-star review. We welcome open feedback in every other forum, but on the podcast site of your choice, please give us a 5-star review and say lovely, nice things about us. We would really like that. We have, I think, 3 reviews on Spotify at the moment. I know I wrote one of them. so please add to that. If you're not already following us on Twitter, please go check us out on there at Headspuck on Twitter. We'll be putting a lot more fun content these days. Ty is very active on there. I am occasionally active on there, mostly in the replies and chirping. And you'll be able to watch us and check out my bomb shelter looking dungeon here that I'm currently in, going through some renovations at home, and Ty's beautiful basement that he's retrofitted for a Calgary fan's dream come true. So yeah, you can find us on there on YouTube, Mitts and Twigs. That's MITTS and TWIGS. I was telling somebody about this last night and they said, mixing twigs? I can't find mixing twigs. I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Oh, what a great, another great outro, hey? Yeah, thank you so much.
Our outros are pain, man. It's like, we don't want to say goodbye. We have more to give, but we have to say goodbye.
No, yeah, no, you hang up first.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, man, thank you guys so much. For my pal Twigs, for myself, Mitts, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. Can't wait to see you next time on the pod, on the show. Take care.